This summer, the world's best tennis players are coming back to Cincinnati. The Cincinnati Open returns August 8th through the 23rd. Bigger than ever, with new fan spaces, incredible food, drinks, and entertainment all in one place. Voted Tournament of the Year by the players themselves. Community Weekend starts August 8th. Finals weekend, August 22nd and 23rd. Get your tickets now at CincinnatiOpen.com.
This is the 1895 Podcast, official podcast of Shelburne FC, bringing you news, views and interviews from inside Tolka Park, Dublin's finest since 1895. Here's your host, Stephen Doody.
Welcome along to the 1895 Podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club. And as always, we're brought to you by Go Loud. Go Loud is the home of Irish podcasts. This week, we'll bask in the glory of our 2-0 win against Galway, preview a must-win game against Drogheda, give our Richie rankings, talk about another must-win for our Women's Premier Division side, their home to Wexford. And finally, the secret is out. We've got Wood. Reggie, how are you?
I'm good, Doody, as Ben would say. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you for being here. And Ben, you decided to drop in unannounced as well.
Here, look, I couldn't leave you with just Reggie, because Reggie will probably use this as an opportunity to defend himself for all the times I've called him out. But I would actually love to be here to shut that down. So I had to jump in last minute so I could basically do that.
Everyone has a right to reply. We were just talking before we start recording. Ben, you've had a busy week. The gaffer, not Daniel Duff, but Darren Cleary, the real gaffer, is away. And I quote, because you're the only one, Ben, that doesn't have a full-time job at this moment in time, you've been left in charge on a pretty busy week. How has it been?
Yeah, it's been great. Look, there's a lot of stress, a lot of effort that goes into it, but when you see the engagement, the love for especially the Harry Wood signing, it makes it all worth it. The only thing I can say is I hope it's been a fairly seamless transition. I hope no one has noticed that much has changed, and you know, stepping into something that's usually done by Darren and done very well, might I add, because it is a hard job to do. So yeah, I just hope that it has been a seamless transition and everyone has enjoyed the news. But yeah, there's a lot of it's a busy time. It's a busy week and it's only Tuesday, so it's a great time to be a Red, though. That's all I'll say.
That it is. Reggie, how's your week been?
Not as stressful as Ben's by the sounds of it, but good. But good to have the Reds back and are in action again soon this week, even earlier in the week than normal.
Yeah, the Thursday games throw me off, I have to say. But sure, look, we're going to have to hopefully get used to Thursday games. So, Yeah, long may they continue. We'll start with Friday night just gone. A comprehensive, I would call it, 2-0 win against Galway. Oh, there's a lot of places we could start with this game,
I think that's the best. And I think the best place to start is our start. I think it's probably the best start we've had all year. Without a doubt, we just came out of the traps hungry. It's like we were fighting for points, begging for points. Like, there was such a desire there. Every tackle, like, we smothered them, didn't give them a chance. I thought we were really, really good.
Yeah, we were really good. The second half, we petered out a little bit, but with the work we had done in that first half probably allowed us to, wouldn't say come off the gas, but we just managed the game really well. Look, Reggie, you obviously, is this your first one this year? First pod of the year?
It is indeed.
So you're now coming in with, you've had a whole season, whole half a season to watch and kind of gauge what is best, what isn't best for the Reds. Are we at our best with a two up top?
Yeah, I think so, definitely. Especially someone like, as Matty Smith said in his post-match, when you're playing up front with someone like John Martin, they kind of push each other on to press and work hard off the ball. I think you said it to Matty, he was the player that failed the most on Friday night, like just that desire to win the ball back when we lose it. And then when it does work, you can see it with the first goal, Matty flicking it on for Martin to run in. And I have to say, that was a very tidy finish on his weaker foot. He had the defender coming on his shoulder and Brendan Clark coming out to close the angle, and he still slotted it past him nicely. But yeah, I was kind of nervous going into Friday. I don't really know how to feel coming into those games after the break. You don't really know what you're going to get, but didn't look like we were on a break at all. The lads were raring to go and from minute one, and we were stuck into Galway straight away, and it was great to see.
We were brilliant. Like the start especially, it's been something maybe, I mentioned it to Matty as well, about maybe we haven't always been clinical this season in front of goal. Ben, I was standing beside you for the two goals. How good was, we'll come to John Martin's finish, and I want to talk about John Martin a little bit, but how good was that flick? I don't even know whether it was a flick. It was like a pass come, I suppose, flick from Matty Smith.
It was unbelievable. Like, it's just, I think we focused on that after the ball went in. Like, it's when we kind of got to stop and think about it. I looked at you, I was like, my God, that pass. Like, and then when you watch it back, the finish is absolutely outrageous. But it's just, I think it's the anticipation, the quick glance over the shoulder to realise he's there. And look, talk about the perfect weight on a ball. Like, it's just, it's as good as they come. And I think, like, look, I've been very pro Matty Smith. I think he offers an awful lot up top. I think because maybe the stats aren't there, and that's something he's said, he never really focused on goals and assists, because he's just told not to. He's just told to do his work, and I think he does it so well. And I think that's really what you can get out of him. I know he got his assist on this occasion, and it's a long time coming, so here, look, long may he continue.
Matty's had his kind of injury troubles, Reggie, since being here. If you could stop chewing on your mic, that would be great. he has, you know, kind of been a little bit stop-start last year. You got that bad injury. But what I noticed from talking to him after the game Friday, he just looks really happy. Like, he was having a bit of laugh, and like a lot of times the players are kind of nervous doing those interviews and stuff. He was just buzzing. He's just giving off this, I don't know what it is, he has this kind of aura about him at the minute that it feels like now we're getting the best out of Matty Smith. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. I think probably Matty's versatility has kind of played against him as well a bit this season. Like, I think when he originally came in, he was kind of out in the wing a bit, and now he's kind of dropped into that kind of playing off the front man role. And I think that's kind of gone against him with the way we play sometimes and the kind of caliber of player we have in there. But whenever he's played in there, I think he's had done a great job for us. Like, I think his other assist was actually to John Martin as well. And it's just, he's a live wire wherever he plays, and he looks like he can create anything from nothing, really.
I totally agree with that about his versatility worked against him. Because, like, I remember Pat's away, I think, wasn't it, Ben? I remember me and you were talking about it. He was basically playing as, like, an extra midfielder, and he just worked so, so hard. Was, like, breaking up play and doing all sorts of stuff that you probably wouldn't associate with Matty Smith. But I think
that's one thing you really get with him. Like, you can never question his energy. You can never really question his levels, because he does really leave it all out on the pitch, I think. And when he did drop into midfield, I think it was a bit of a head scratcher. But he just performed that role so well. And I think I do agree with what both of you said about his versatility. I think maybe because he hasn't got that consistency in a role, that maybe just takes a little bit of adapting, and maybe he's just not really been there. But I think, like playing off John Martin, he was absolutely brilliant. I think that's what I'd say.
One of the things I actually noticed on Friday, I was sitting in the main stand for the first half, kind of near enough to the dugouts, and Duffer called him at one stage to kind of drop a bit deeper into the pocket to pick up the ball. And I think when we did that, he picked it up loads and he was able to get on the ball a lot more and cause a lot of trouble for the Galway lads. Like, he was in between their kind of line, midfield line, and their two centre halves. And you could see the two centre halves weren't sure whether to go and follow him or leave the midfielders to him. And he just was picking up the ball in absolute acres. And it was just something that worked really, really well for him.
No, I was just saying he works really well in those half spaces, just either between the midfielders or if he's a bit further forward between the centre halves. Like, he just, when he does pick up the ball, 9 times out of 10, he's just going to turn and run. And that's, I'd say, up there with some of the scariest sights you can have, because I can't imagine he's an easy man to get off the ball.
No, and I was going to say there, from like a defender's point of view or like a out possession a team's point of view, when you have the likes of a Matty Smith dropping into a hole or the pocket, Ben, you're well up on your buzzwords at the moment, I have to say.
Why?
I think in the hole is now gone.
Okay.
It's more that you play in the pocket or in the half spaces, I think you put it. But like, that is a disaster of a position to let somebody drop into, because like that, if you're a centre half, you're saying, well, do I go out after him? But if I go out after him, he could just bounce one past me, or he could roll me and then he's running through on goal. Does a midfielder drop on top of him? If that happens, all you're doing then is leaving space for the likes of an Evan Caffrey, a JJ Lunny, or a Jarvis or a Burt. They're clever enough to pick up them little areas of space. So, look, we've mentioned there John Martin as well. I did this when we signed Mark Coyle. I did it when we signed A. Dervin. Actually, yeah, A. Dervin, but I'll get to that in a minute. I've lost my train of thought there thinking about A. Dervin. And basically, I'm taking credit for A. Dervin getting sent off on Friday. Ben, you can back me up on this one.
And yeah, I can attest. Go on, I'll let you tell your story. But...
So you'll notice on a match day, you'll generally see a combination of me and Reggie, or me and Ben, or Ben and Reggie, or two people bringing out the board for LOI TV to use. So it's a big burly thing and it's really awkward. So you kind of, like, the stewards generally kind of make a way for you. And they did do that, but A. Dervin kind of jumped in the way and I just kept going and was totally messing. I was like, ah, it's only A, don't worry about it. And he looked at me and kind of smiled, but according to you, Ben, when he turned away from me, he wasn't too happy.
I don't know if it was just a case of he's putting the game face on straight away, but he gave him a smile, he came back, and it was just deadpan. I was like, looks like he's going to go back and kill Duty. I was like, that'd be great. No offense, Duty, but I'd like to see that fight.
Nah, I'd take him, just sit on him. But yeah, and then of course he goes, gets wound up, gets red carded. So look, I'll take the assist for that. Is there a win bonus for these players, would you say?
Why are you looking for a few, Bob?
Yeah, should do. Made their life very easy for those last couple of minutes.
Maybe you should write the post this, because if Drogheda get win, they might let you near the tunnel.
That.
You never know what you could say to anyone else there.
Let's not. John Martin, I was talking about. I remembered. I labelled him when he signed first the same kind of... I did it with Coyler and I did it with A. Dervin when he signed originally. That's how I got to this point after going on that roundabout for as long as I've been on it. And I labelled those two, Coyler and Dervin, as good bastards, i.e. win the ball back, they'll scurry around, might not do a whole lot else for you, but they'll be kind of warriors in the middle. I was completely wrong about Mark Coyle. I think there was more to A. Dervin than just winning the ball back as well. But John Martin's fallen into that category for me. I thought he was just one of these industrious centre forwards. Just, you know, he'll run and run and he'll hassle and he'll harry. But he has been clinical in front of goal this year. He's just been, he doesn't need 3, 4, 5 chances. He's one chance, bang, balls in the back of the net. So the question I put to you, Reggie, does John Martin have to start?
At the moment, I think, yeah. I don't think you can really change that team that played on Friday. I thought we were outstanding. Like, and the other thing is, I think Boydie is one of those, he probably doesn't like it, but he's been an incredibly good impact sub for us this season. So at times, he's great at coming on and nicking winners and nicking draws. So yeah, at the moment, I think you have to keep John Martin in.
Ben?
Yeah, I think just based on current form, it would be very, very harsh to see him be taken out of the team and drop out. I think I do agree with Reg. Imagine a player the caliber of Sean Boyle on your bench coming on. Like, that's the kind of, I don't want to say embarrassment to riches, but we're very, very lucky to have someone like that being able to come in and impact the game. And I think, yeah, he could have a really big impact on the game if he does come on as he did last time out.
The most impressive part of that game on Friday for me was probably that we did it and we were so assured and composed without the skipper and obviously without Gav Malloy, who was left. And I was a bit concerned about that. And I was like, oh, how is this going to pan out? You know, Gav's kind of left this gaping hole there that, you know, could be difficult to fill. But Cam Ledwidge, another one who is just playing out of his skin. He's just so composed. He's composed when he needs to be. He's aggressive. He can pass the ball. He can run with the ball.
He's consistent. There's no other word for it. He's been so consistent this season. And I think if you ask anyone at the start of the year what you expect from him, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to say they wouldn't, because Cam has just showed such great maturity this season. Like, he's really come into his role. He's doing so well. Does everything asked of him. It's almost like he just doesn't really put a foot wrong. Like, he's been really good this season.
Reg, is consistency enough, if you know what I mean? Like, is if Cam was a 7 out of 10 from now to the end of the season, is that enough for him to stay in the team? Or do you feel the likes of a Griff now, who seems to be back to fitness, Sam Bone has obviously come in. Like, can you see the manager leaving Cam out the way things are going?
Not really. Like, I think he was another one with a bit of the Matty Smith thing of his versatility was kind of biting him. Like, I remember him at the start of Duffer's era, he was kind of coming on in midfield and left wing, and I think he's kind of cemented himself now in either that left back or left centre back role. And I think he hasn't put a foot wrong, especially this season. He's very good with the ball at his feet, running at people, getting out of defence, and he's been incredible, like, dealing with centre forwards as well. So I don't think he can be really dropped at the moment, to be fair. I think he's been, as you said, consistent and hasn't put a foot wrong.
And I'm a big believer that every good football team should have a few angry, angry people in it. And I think from talking to the players, Cam's a pretty angry fella. So the longer he stays in there throwing his anger around the football pitch, the better for me. Connor Cairns was another one. I don't know why he stood out a little bit for me on Friday, but he looked really, really composed. Like, he was coming and claiming balls. He just went about his business. He was very, very tidy. And that kind of worked its way through the rest of the team, I felt. So Connor's another one, just so, so consistent. And he's been so important just for the continuity. And, like, you know, obviously Clarkey down the opposite end there Friday, and Clarkey, who is still a listener to the 1895 podcast, I believe, he is out to get you, Adam Leonard, just so you know, for not putting him in your all-time Shell's First Division 11. He took that very, very personally. So
it was an absolutely ridiculous omission, let's be real. Sorry, Ad, but, like, come on.
Yeah, I'd tend to agree with you, Ben. So, look, it was such an important win. Sligo went, hopped off Drogheda, like, really hopped off Drogheda. Does that now make this game on Thursday a bit more difficult in a way?
Absolutely. Like, they always turn up and play unbelievable against us, no matter what. Like, I know for a few years when things were bad, Cabinteely was a bit of a bogey team for us. But I think Drogs could be taking that title, that mantle. They're just, for whatever reason, they always seem to put up such an amazing fight against us. Am I the only one in this boat?
No, they, like, we haven't beaten them. We've drawn with them twice already. Now, look, you could argue we should have beaten them twice, but the long and short of it is that we didn't. So you can't, like, you know, you're not going to get, it's the old thing in this league, there's no easy games, which is really not. Like, there is no UCD this year. Like, Drogheda aren't at that level. Having said all that, they're 8 games without a win, which is a stinking run. But like that, I'm sure they're looking at this one saying, you know, we've caused these problems a few times already this season. We could definitely do something against them. Reggie, I noticed on Friday they were without... Evan Weir has obviously left the club, so that's a big, big loss for them. Last Friday against Derry, they were without Barr, McNally, Deegan, Markey and Bauer. And now Thursday, they'll be without Piero. He got sent off against Derry. So in the intro, I call this a must-win game, and I will stand by that. I think if you really want a challenge, you have to win games like this against bottom of the table who are struggling for bodies. Is it too dramatic to say it's a must-win?
Definitely not. I think at this stage of the season, everything's a must-win. But yeah, it's a bit of a weird one, this one on Thursday now. I think, like, obviously you're saying Piero was suspended, and they signed that new striker, so he's a bit of an unknown quantity in the league. We don't know what to expect from him. They got the right back, a Huey back from, is it Lincoln?
Yeah.
I thought he was one of their probably best players in the league last year, so he'll add a bit of stability into that back line. So it's never an easy task to go up to Weaver's Park and get a result. So yeah, it's definitely a must win. And I think it's that thing of, they've a lot of ex-Shales players up there who kind of want to leave a mark on us. So it's not going to be an easy game.
Probably, Ben, the perfect segue into a couple of departures this week. Shane Farrell obviously is signed for Drogheda. He's left the club. Probably not a huge surprise, but what are your feelings on it?
Look, it's always sad to see anyone leave the club, especially, I think it hits a little bit harder when it is someone that has given as much as he has to the club. Like, one of our own is a chant, it's what we say, but he really is one of our own. Like, he stuck around when things weren't great. He's seen the club climb, he's seen the club rise, and yeah, I think it just naturally came to a conclusion when, I suppose, maybe he wasn't getting the minutes he needed, or I think it was time to move on. I don't think there's much else to it, but an incredible servant for the club. He's done so well, and I think he'll always be a welcome face around Tolka Park.
100%. Reggie, Shane Farrell has kind of been one of those players, especially for you. Like, I have a good few years over you. Shane Farrell was a real kind of beacon of hope around the Shells team in those dark days, wasn't he?
Yeah, remember, I think it was 2017 he signed. Owen Heary was the manager, and he was kind of a bit of a different player to what we had. Back then, we kind of had more defensive-minded midfielders, big lads that would kind of break up the play, whereas this small young lad came in with a bit of flair, I suppose, and he just added something completely different to what we hadn't really seen before. And he kind of lit up the place, I suppose. And I saw a video the other day, someone had made like a video of all the goals he had scored. Like, he scored some big goals for us, seemed to have a knack of scoring against Rovers, scored a few against them. And he was scored a few big penalties for us as well. So yeah, it's definitely kind of a bittersweet seeing him go. Like, I think you said, it kind of came to a natural end, but he was a great servant to the club, especially through those darker days of the first division.
Might be a bit harsh to say that maybe it just kind of, it didn't pass him by, but I think the club kind of just moved on a little bit, or the team maybe evolved into something that, it just never felt like Shane had a proper role. It was always kind of, you know, he'd plug a gap here, or he'd come on for the last 10 minutes there. And I'm kind of glad he's gone now, if that makes sense. Like, he in no way had kind of like started to down tools or anything like that. He's not the type of lad. He's kind of gone out, I would say, in a nice way. And part of me is saying as well, it'll be nice on Thursday that he'll get that kind of opportunity that Gav Malloy maybe didn't get, to maybe, I suppose, say goodbye. And having said all that, if he goes and sticks a ball on the back of the net, like, I don't know how that one will go down, but definitely sad to see him go, but it just felt like the right kind of move for everybody. The other one is Jad. Obviously, he's moved on to Dundalk. Another one that so much promise when he broke into the team first, but Reggie just never really got a run of games with those injuries, did he?
Yeah, it was just unfortunate. He was plagued with injuries, so just never was able to put his hat in the name for or his name in the hat for a starting spot every week. And then, as you said, I think it just kind of, the team kind of evolved without a spot for a minute. But yeah, he's just definitely unfortunate with those injuries. I think he was out for, wasn't it, a really long period of time with, I think, osteopubis, which is, from what I've heard, a very, very nasty injury. So I suppose wish nothing but the best to Jad. And as you said, he's always welcome in Tolka.
Yeah, he's another lad that you just hope it works out for him, because he's a really, really nice fella. And like that, just there's a touch of the what might have been with Jad if he didn't pick up that injury. And like, it's a really kind of strange injury. There's not like a standard, you know, there's not like a standard op or a standard procedure you can go through to kind of get it fixed. It's a real strange one. You just wonder how that will hold up playing up there week in, week out. But yeah, we can only send on our best to the two lads, obviously not to Shane this Friday or this Thursday, and not to Jad anytime we play Dundalk, but hopefully it works out well for them.
I don't know how true it is, but I thought I read that there's a gentleman's agreement that Shane can't play against us on Thursday, but who knows if that's true or not.
Oh Lord, got Reggie coming in with the gossip. That's what we want. That's what we're here for.
That's Twitter. So who knows how true that is?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Harry Wood wasn't coming to Leading Shells there as of a couple of days ago, because some lad has all of a sudden turned into like the new Dan McDonald, reporting stuff that's just complete and utter guesswork. But look, we might come to that later on. Look, I was talking actually to my dad about this earlier. Effectively, on paper, what we've done is we've swapped Gav Malloy, Jad Akiki and Shane Farrell for Sam Bone, Ali Coote and Harry Wood. Ben, good business, I would have said.
Yeah, incredible business. Look, talk about strengthening your squad. That's pretty much as good as it could get. Look, obviously, I'm sure we'll talk about Harry and him coming back, but I think that's a really, really big one. I think Sam Bowen has a lot to offer the squad as well. Like, I think if you look at what we have in terms of defenders and backup, there's a lot there. Like, if there is an injury, and with Griff coming back, that's basically like a new signing. I think I said that to Joey in the post-match, and he kind of echoed that, saying, yeah, it's great to have him back because he is so important. And like, people forget that Connor makes the excellent save for the penalty and Griff clears it off the line, I think Joey said. So like, we have some excellent players coming back with Griff, and the signings are amazing. Like, I think it's just, if someone said that to you at the start of the window, just a few days beforehand, you'd probably bite the hand off for it, because it is really, really big. And I think it's definitely what we need if we're going to where it looks like we're going. And Doody, I know you don't want to say title race, or you're the only one that does want to say it, but yeah, I think it's massive backup, and it's great to see them come in.
I singled out Conor Cairns for praise for how composed he looked on Friday, and I didn't mention his penalty save, and it was a very, very good save, very, very good save. So sorry about that, Conor, but yeah, absolutely brilliant. Like, I'm joking about it, but if they score that penalty, they throw the kitchen sink at us for those last, whatever, 15 minutes or whatever it was. Absolutely. And it's a very, very different game. So, look, keepers, that's big moments. I've said this before, like, a penalty save obviously gets the plaudits it deserves, but Connor's done plenty this year that has maybe gotten lost in the wider performance, but he is an extremely, extremely important player for us this year. Ben, we're in a title race. Like, there's no I mean, what is the point in trying to play it down now? We are.
I'm only here to annoy you, dude. Don't worry.
Yeah, should have bleeding left you in the studio last week. Anyway, Reggie, are the Reds in a title race?
100%. Not something I thought I'd be saying, but yeah, all I'm used to is the doom and gloom.
Yeah, I forget, Reggie, that, like, for you as well, Ben, these are like, just, Ben, you're a teacher. I'm trying to say, unheard of, unprecedented, something like that. Yeah, I see that. Do you like that one, Ben? Unprecedented.
That was very good.
Yeah.
Did someone get you a thesaurus?
The podcast host who can't bleed and talk. But anyway, like, these are amazing times for the club. Top of the league, back in Europe. It's just so far away from what you're used to, Reg, isn't it?
Yeah, God, I remember someone brought it up the other day. I remember I was on crutches at the time, hobbled into Talca to watch us get beaten 4-1 by Cavantilli, and I was just like, oh my God. And now we're pushing for the title, going to Europe. Ah, it's a bit mad.
It's absolutely incredible. Speaking of title charges, title pushes, is Harry Wood that real kind of X factor that could potentially bring a league title back to Talca for the first time since 06?
Absolutely, 100%. Like, no doubt in my mind. You look what he himself and Will Jarvis did, kind of rejuvenating the squad last year, kicking on and picking up results. Like, there was question marks raised when he came in. I think people looked at his effort when he came on as a sub in his first few games and were like, here, what are we after getting here? And then he just turned into an absolutely unbelievable player. If he is half the player he was last year, he's an incredible player.
Isn't it funny how your first impressions can be so wrong? Like, I remember being at that game. Reggie, I don't know whether it was you or you, Ben, that I was standing beside, or could have been Darren, I said it to. And we copped it at the same time when he was warming up. Do you remember that?
Like, that lad hasn't moved for
five years. He just looked so uninterested. And it was all around that time of, we don't want to be a feeder club and we don't want Hull just sending these random young lads over. And I remember looking, going, oh my God, this lad is a dud. He has no more interest in being here. And then, sure enough, maybe a bit dramatic to say he fired us to Europe, but I mean, he got six assists or something mental like that.
Like, he was a complete game changer. I don't think it is mental to say. Look, I think he complemented a lot of the players we already had. I'm not saying we didn't have quality there. I think he was just maybe a catalyst for the squad to maybe push on and hit that extra gear.
So, Reg, the real question is, where does he fit into this team?
It's a good question. I'm glad I don't have to make that decision because I haven't a clue.
You still have to answer the question, though.
Well, I don't think he gets into the starting 11 straight away. I don't think he can take anyone out after last week's performance. But I suppose it's probably looking at where Matty Smith was playing, that kind of role off the centre forward, kind of in the pocket, as you say.
The other part of this is, Ben, signing him on a permanent deal instead of a loan. That's a real kind of...
It's a statement of intent, is what it is.
They are the exact words I was going to use, would you believe?
I know you so well, dude. You've been for a while. Like, I think we finished each other's... Come on, dude, he said.
Dinner.
Well, not two. But yeah, I think it's absolutely a statement of intent because it's not just we're here this season. It's we aim to be consistent. We aim to be there and thereabouts. And it's... I think the Shell's pessimism is slowly draining from me. I'm actually starting to be a little bit optimistic now, especially when you see stuff like that.
Yeah, it felt like the never-ending transfer saga. It was like people, well, you're listening to this, you know who you are, that person that said Harry Wood was in Talca. But like, since that's been bandied about, like, from the time he left here, to go back to Hull, it was like, oh, wonder, could we get Harry Wood back? Will Harry Wood come back? He is coming back. He isn't coming back. But to have it done, massive for me. I think he can play a few different roles. You could put him in as a centre midfielder. He could be a creator from a more deep area. You could stick him in as a 10, no problem. If he needed to be kind of a wider player, he could fill in that role either. So it could be a huge, huge sign. And his fitness, I don't know how, what the story is with that. I think, Ben, you, I've spoken to him. Has he been away or is he fit? Or come on, give us the dirt.
Well, I spoke to him when he was in getting his pictures done as with some veil and stuff, and we did a little interview. I think that'll be going out in the next day or two, or I'd imagine at some point tomorrow. But yeah, he's in good spirits. He's happy, healthy. He's been on the pitch doing a little bit of work himself. He looks, I don't want to say ready to go, but he does look ready to go. Like he just said, he's been out of football for, I think, 7 weeks since his season wrapped up. And he's like, I just want to get back on the pitch. I want to put my boots on. I want to be here. So, yeah, he's a real kind of fire under him. I think he just really wants to be back out there.
Reggie DeBarney, what are we saying?
I was about to say, did he go down under or something for a few weeks? DeBarney and the Tash. It's very Australian.
One of the first things I said to him was, the Baron, how did that go over in training? He's like, oh, mixed reviews.
I would have just loved to have seen Joey O'Brien's reaction to that haircut. I would have loved to have seen it, but
it's a bit of Simpson softball, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Shaved off sideburns. It definitely is. But look, he can have his hair whatever way he wants if he does the business. I couldn't give a rat's what he does. Where were we? We were talking about Drogheda and somehow this all happened. Ben, is there any real change that the manager could make going into Thursday, do you feel?
I can't imagine there is. I think the start the squad had, particularly the first half against Galway, like that's the strongest we've looked in a very long time. The squad was almost kind of like rejuvenated. They were really, really up for it. I'm not saying they haven't been, but like there was a real desire, real hunger there. And it was, I think it was maybe a little bit personal for a lot of them just because of how poor we were last time we played Galway. And it's almost like they had a point to prove that, like, that's not us. That's not what we do. This is what we do.
Well, I'm calling it. The first Shelburne pasting of the season is coming on Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to thump them. 100%. There's no doubt in my mind we're going to thump them.
Does Mark Coyle come back in?
See, this is the thing. Like, we haven't even mentioned Evan Caffrey, who was brilliant and obviously scored on Friday as well. Like, say that again, Ben, sorry.
It's the Skechers, I imagine.
Skechers boots. I can't get on board with that.
I was a bit taken aback, but he scored, so keep wearing them.
I don't know. I don't know where I stand on it.
I didn't actually know Skechers made boots.
Yeah, Harry Kane, I believe, was the first main body they got in, wasn't it? But yeah. Well, I suppose, look, keep doing what you're doing. Keep scoring, Ev. Wear whatever you want.
In fairness, he was brilliant on Friday. All jokes aside, I think you do have to mention just his quality. Like, he just does so well under pressure. Like, sometimes he gets the ball and he traps it and they're like, he's going to lose that. And he just turns and gets out of pressure. And they're like, how has he done that? Like, where did that come from? And he finds a pass, he picks someone out. I think it's consistency again. Maturity is something I've said. But I think that's the squad overall. I think he's shown it in abundance this season, especially in the last few weeks.
Yeah, I always get this image with Evan Caffrey. I don't know where it comes from, but there's some players that I get this thing in my head. It's like he's listening to like classical music or something when he's playing. And I don't want to go full Johnny Ward and this and start saying mad shit, but it's like he's just zoned out. It's like he's just doing his own thing.
Because like on autopilot,
yeah, it's like he just dribbles out of scenarios. You're going, Jesus, why did he dribble there? but he just makes it look so effortless. I can just imagine a bit of Mozart or something like that in his ears. He's just floating around the pitch. A bit like the Monk. You know the way the Monk and Mean Machine just kind of goes to this other place altogether? I don't know what gives me that thing about Evan Caffrey. It might be that he just stared down the barrel of the camera the one time he interviewed him. Kind of gave off those Monk vibes a little bit, but yeah, anyway, I don't know why that came into my head, but speaking of Johnny Ward, he obviously done co-commentary there on Friday and told us a very funny story before the game that he used to live in the house on the corner, kind of down at the entrance to the away end when he was a student, and he used to have to pay 50p to use the shower. So there you go. The signs were there, these greedy landlords all those years ago. Who would have thought it? As we're talking at the minute, people are learning their fates. Obviously, the tickets for the away European game are being divvied out through the lotto system. So by the time you listen to this, you'll know your fate. But if anyone isn't travelling or for whatever reason, please try and make sure your ticket ends up in the right hands. Please. Before we preview the Women's Premier Division game against Wexford on Saturday, we will mention, well done to Hannah Healy. She was called up to the Women's Under-19 squad, so always good to have reds in green, especially after that injury she suffered. Good to see her called up, well-deserved as well. John Martin, Paddy Barrett, and Ev Caffrey all got into the Team of the Week. I'd love to know the last time Michelle's player wasn't in that Team of the Week. But I mentioned it, Ben, the women's game on Saturday, Tom to Wexford, 2 p.m. kickoff. The way that league has gone so far, it's another must win, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It really is. I think everyone just seems to be like battling, especially at the top. Like, I think it's Athlone now who go top by a point, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So I think every game is must win. We're still the only team unbeaten, which is, after 10 games, just an incredible feat, I suppose. But this Wexford side, I don't think they're anything to look past. I think it's very dangerous to look past them, especially with them picking up a win. Was it last week they picked up the 2-0 win against Cork? So,
yeah,
it's, they've picked up, was it 4 on the bounce now? Like
they're on a really, really good run. Yeah. Like, it's funny because I remember saying like how disappointing they'd been at the start, and like, you know, they looked really poor. Like, all of a sudden, like, they're sitting up in fifth. You know, they're only 2 points behind Piemont all of a sudden. So, you know, like, it's the two informed teams in the league. So, like, it's a very, very tight game. But, Reg, these games, especially these home games, they are kind of must wins, aren't they?
Yeah, with such a kind of small, shorter league than usual, they're so critical to like getting towards that league title. And yeah, as you said, like, Wexford are on a serious run. Like, obviously they won at the weekend there, but they've had a few big wins. Like, they had a big scalp. They were the first team to beat Galway, and they beat them up in Galway. So they're going to be coming here full of confidence. So it's not going to be any easy game at all.
No, and that, Ben, it feels like that. They obviously had a week off again. Just feels so stop-start, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'd say it's a nightmare for planning, training, everything. I'd say the players, I'd say it's incredibly frustrating, because when you do get that momentum behind you, it's like, well, enjoy your time away. You've no game this week.
Yeah,
it's very hard, especially pushing for a league when you have that momentum taken away from you and it's not your fault.
Yeah, Davey O'Connor, a good red, is obviously the S&C coach with Shells, with the women's side, and he, fair to say, will have earned his bacon over the last few weeks, because that stop-start stuff, I'd say, is just a killer for like strength conditioning staff and physios and stuff like that. I'd say it's a complete disaster, but as we said, it's a 2 p.m. kickoff. It's in Tolka. Get yourselves down, lend your support, and hopefully both sides will finish the weekend top of their respective leagues. Just on the departure front, gents, I mentioned obviously Jad and Shane Farrell. It was announced just there before we start recording that Lewis Temple's gone to Wexford on loan. What are we making of that one, Reg?
Yeah, I think it's a good move for him. Obviously, with Sam Bone coming in as well, it's like more competition, so he's not going to develop by sitting on the bench. So it's definitely a good move for him, and obviously he's on a two-year contract. So look, the more game time he gets, it's better for us, I suppose, in the long term.
Ben, do you echo that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you look at Lewis himself, like, he's been, anytime I've actually seen him play, like, he was really good against Waterford when he was called on. Like, he was so good in some of the Leinster Senior Cup matches we've seen him in. He looks like he could be a player, and there's a player in there. So, look, getting the minutes under the belt at senior men's level is brilliant. Why not? Yeah, absolutely. And if he wasn't going to get it here, I'm glad he's getting it somewhere else. And it's only going to stand to him, and it's only going to be better for him, I think, in his development.
Has it left us a bit light? I was looking at the squad there on paper. So, obviously, you've Sam Bone. Like, Paddy Barrett, Gano, Shane Griffin, Cam, and Tyreek. Is that all I'm missing there? Like, it's not a lot of bodies, really, is it?
You far ahead, Ben.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if it's left us light, but maybe, look, I think we mentioned a while ago, dude, a new right back would probably be good for us just to offer that little bit of cover to Gano, because, you know, if Gano does pick up a knock, it's usually Tariq that goes out over on the right, and Cam will be shifted to left full, and then someone will come in at centre half. So maybe, look, if you're talking a scenario like that, yeah, you could be left a little bit light, but I think I'm happy enough where we are. If a new right back does come in the door, absolutely, that'd be brilliant. But if not, I think we have enough there. I think there's enough quality. I think, look, Mero's the best in the business. I don't think we hopefully have no issues.
Yeah, it's just it's like a little lingering concern there. It's just the depth of, especially, obviously, Griff has had his issues there with a couple of injuries as well. So, yeah, just a little worry. Nothing too major, but another little defender there who could maybe cover a few areas, and I reckon we would be a really, really formidable outfit. Not that we're not at the moment, but it's just that bit of cover that could, hopefully it doesn't, but could maybe become a bit of an issue. The question box went out as usual. We got a few bits in there. What I will turn to first is the WhatsApp number, which I will have in a second, because it's on my phone here, but I'm looking at messages at the minute, so I'll get that to you in a second. But we got a message in. I'll go with this one first. So it's, hi lads, it's from Brian Wilson. Obviously, it's great to have a new sound system installed in Tolga this season. What isn't great is the outdated tripe that continues to emanate from it. Whatever happened, the famous playlist that was apparently put together with input from the fans. Last Friday, we had Dross, such as 500 miles in the match build-up, capped off by the tired sound of Pig Bag drowning out the crowd as the teams came out. I was about to say as the pigs came out. There are times when there should be no music to let the crowd make the noise anyway, but if you're going to blast out music, please make it be well-known Shells, Terrace, Chants and or music from the many very talented artists in our fan base. Thanks, lads. Up the Reds. And as I said, that's from Brian Wilson. Reggie, where do you stand on this?
Yeah, I think I turned to you when the teams are coming out and said, is that Pig Back?
Yeah, yeah, he did.
I was a bit surprised by that, but yeah, I couldn't agree more with what Brian's saying. There's definitely a good selection of Shell songs that could be played, especially after wins and that sort of thing, like Live It Up or Komodo or something like that, just to get the crowd really going. And yeah, there is some questionable songs, I would say, on the playlist currently.
That phone number, by the way, the WhatsApp number is 085-166-6784. I'm not quite in radio DJ mode yet where I know all those numbers off by heart. This was another one we got in. It's from Jack, who described himself as a happy yet disgruntled Shells fan. So he said, Well, this was in kind of reaction to Joey O'Brien's interview with you after the game, Ben. And this, I think, is the quote. I didn't think they were that immense. They need to see where we are in the league and what is at stake here. That's obviously referring to the supporters. So Jack has said, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on these comments about the atmosphere in Tolke. I think as a fan base, we need to lift our energy dramatically. I can compare it to the Irish crowd at the Aviva. Oh, no, I'm not talking about the Irish crowd, but everyone is talking about how much the club's improving both on and off the pitch. Both our men's and women's teams are on title charges. The club are backing the manager and signing top players like Harry Wood. Every week there are improvements being made. The team are doing the business, and I feel that us as fans can now give that extra lift to support the players. We need to keep singing, keep bringing the energy. The players have said it makes them run that extra bit harder, and there's a strong chance this league will be won on a marginal 1% gain. Let's lift it, lads. And as I say, that's from Jack, who said he's a happy yet disgruntled fan. Ben, this has been, like, people have been mentioning this now for weeks at this stage. Where do you stand on it?
I think I'd agree with everything that's been said there. I think as fans, the crowd are, look, as cliche as it is, the players have said it. They do get that lift. They do get that boost. It is the kind of 12th man. That's the cliche. But it's true. Especially in those games where, look, everyone will get out of bed for a Bowes at home or Bowes away or any Dublin derby, Pats, Rovers. That's like when everyone is in voice. But it's the games that you're getting, like, you need to pick up the points that maybe they, you just need that little extra boost. And I think we can lift it. And I think we spoke to Owen Smith after the game, and he said it's just, he was in the Riverside, he said it is just a little bit hard. You'd have people starting chants, and then there might be a miscommunication, and there's others starting chants, and then nothing really gets said, and it's, some stuff can be drowned out. But I just think we do, as a fan base, probably need to lift it a little bit more, especially considering that we are in a title charge. That is the first time I have said it.
Well, you've said it now, so it's out there. Look, this is a hard one to kind of work around, because we're obviously not in the stand anymore. Like, it's kind of a different dynamic, really. But it would seem to me that there's an awful lot of kids and stuff there, which is fine. That's, you know, the next kind of generation. That's where the next kind of era comes from. But it feels a bit, there's a lot of new bodies there, and sometimes it's hard to kind of merge together. And, like, there's that kind of core group that, look, you could point them out, no problem, that have been there week in, week out, whether it be down in Cove, up in Finn Harps, they're always there. And, like, that core group, sometimes it feels like if you just let them, like, leave them on their own and they could do it. But look, it's a bit kind of, I don't know what the word is for it, but like sitting here talking about, you know, oh, how do we create an atmosphere? It's far be it from me to, you know, tell people how to create an atmosphere. Like, what I would say is, hopefully with Joey having said it, maybe some people will kind of look and go, geez, yeah, it hasn't been the May West. And like, you've people leaving early doesn't help. Like, I know the tunnel situation can be a bit of a pain in the arse at full time, but is it that bad that you have to leave like kind of 8-10 minutes before full time? I don't think so. And the other issue is, look, it's an issue that there's no real like solution to the problem at the minute, but like the queue for the bar is obscene, and I know lads tip off kind of before half time to be able to get a point, which isn't ideal either. But look, hopefully there's a fix for that coming down the line as well. But yeah, look, it has been a little bit flat the last while. I don't know whether people are maybe just in a bit of shock at the situation that we're in at the minute, but no better ground to be going to now on Thursday to create an atmosphere. So hopefully it does improve. On Instagram, Jordan O'Reilly, who is time and time again a voice of reason, said professional, controlled and comfortable. That was in relation to obviously Friday night's win against Drogheda. And then he also said Hennessy needs to we'll say go away. That's not the way Jordan put it, but Hennessy needs to go away. He's a joke. I'm not going to say it, but Reggie, there was a few yellows. There was a few yellows being handed out on Friday that just seemed a bit needless, didn't they?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I think it's something across the league, though. The refs seem to be a bit card happy for whatever reason. But yeah, I've watched it back, I'd say 10 times, and I still can't work out if it's a penalty or not that he gave against Conor Cairns. So I don't really know what was going on there.
Yeah, it's not even... My annoyance with referees is more the way they carry themselves. Like, I don't mind like that. The Conor Cairns one, as you said, Reg, I've done the same. Watched it back so many times, I don't know whether it was a penalty or not. I can deal with like a decision like that. That's fine. It's going in real time. Players are moving quickly. I completely understand that. Wouldn't envy being a ref or a line out there trying to make a decision. But it's this business of like not being able to talk to refs and like dishing out yellows for dissent and stuff. Look, I get that. Like, you can't run up roaring and screaming and shouting in a referee's face. But one of the players, Ben, mentioned this to us earlier in the season, that like there's some referees you can't even speak to. Like, you can't even go to them in a calm way and be like, look, I didn't feel that was a free kick. It was this or that. You're just told to go away. Like, surely that's wrong.
Like, absolutely, duty. I'm doing that to annoy you again. I don't know if you clocked it yet. But yeah, it is. It's a little bit ridiculous. One that sticks out to me from Friday was the Cam yellow card.
Yeah.
28 minutes in, I think, around the half an hour mark, he gets the yellow. And for the life of me, I don't see why. Because, like, the persistent fouling out of Galway and the amount of times they had brought someone down or a tackle was late or whatever, what have you, they still didn't get a yellow till, like, the second half, I think, their first yellow was in. Around the 50th minute was McCormick.
Yeah, the only thing on that one, Ben, that I'd say is Galway are very, very good, and I said this to you at the time, at sharing fouls around.
Yeah.
So, like, it's very rarely the same player, you know, kind of consecutively will give away a foul. So that definitely helps. Like, they're very, very good at that. But yeah, I think it was the second half. It wasn't too far into the second half. Conor McCormick got a yellow.
I think it was around 49, 50 minutes he got the yellow. And I think I turned to you and said, finally.
Yeah, you did. But then, like, John O'Sullivan and Gano then, like, got really cheap yellows at the end. And oh, I don't know. It was just...
It did just... At times, it did seem a little bit like there was no approach on the referee or no talking to the official. And, like, that's just not the way to operate things. Like, fair enough if you don't want the game to go rogue and you have 10 lads on top of you screaming in your face. Call over a captain. Have a discussion.
Yeah, it's actually... Like, it's something they've been doing in the Euros that... It seems to be working really well, that like the captain can speak to the referee, but if anyone else starts crowding around, you get your yellow, which I think is the best way to do it, because there has to be dialogue. Like, if you ask any footballer, Ben, any footballer will say to you, 9 times out of 10, if you give away a foul and like the ref says to you, but you're Ben, you're after been pulling out his jersey at the back, so I can see you pulling his jersey. Most players will go, oh yeah, right, fair enough. Like, I can't really argue with that one. Or, like, same thing if, like, say the penalty decision there on Friday. If the ref, like, turns around and says, Connor, from where I was standing, definitely looks like you clipped his trailing leg or whatever. Like, if they just explain what's going on or what's their reasoning. But it's this business of, no, I've given the decision, now piss off, I'm not talking to you anymore.
Like, what that, I say is,
yeah, that what is I just say. Wrong. It's so, so wrong. It's just very, very frustrating. Like, it's not decisions that bother me with refs. It's the kind of demeanor, the way they kind of carry themselves. But look, who on earth would be a referee? King McKevitt said shells are the best. Hard to argue with that, to be honest. Callum Brown, this was obviously before the announcement, but he asked us to announce Harry Wood.
No problem.
Yeah, you did the business there. A few other people got kind of caught on the hop. I know Lucas O'Don was on saying it's been a season on the sidelines for Jad. Can he still make it here, or does he need a loan? It would seem he needs to transfer Lucas instead of a loan, but he actually got back onto us then to say, you can scrap that last question, I suppose. But but of the centre-backs at the club, who is the best partner for Paddy Barrett? Reggie, who is the best partner for Paddy Barrett?
I can't see past Cam at the moment, to be honest. They were very good together on Friday night, and I think they complement each other well. So I think for me it has to be Cam.
Yeah, obviously Sam Bowen has come in, Griff is back fit. I just would have presumed when Gav Malloy left, Ben, that Griff would just slot into that position, but is it fair to look past Cam?
I think, look, maybe it's just because of the caliber of player Griff is, you think he'd slot back in. But when you look at the Cam on merit and what he's done this season, it's very hard to say, thanks for all that, there's the bench. Like, I think the manager is fair. If anything, if you do hit that purple patch, if you do have that form, he's not going to stop it. And you've seen that with Evan Caffrey and his run in the team. Obviously, he had the injury, and it's great to see him get those minutes now. But look, obviously, you'd like to see Griff come in and do the business. But having a player of that caliber off the bench is, like, it's incredible to have.
It is. Kev Hardiman was also on and referred to the Reds as the Galacticos. Look, we will see come November. We are almost there. Ben, I need your Richie Baker for this week.
It has to be Harry Wood, surely. Someone's going to give it to Harry Wood, so I'm going to give it to Harry Wood.
Yeah, I had Harry Wood as well.
Yeah.
To be honest, look, how could you not? Realistically, how could you not? Reggie, you're Richie Baker.
Evan Caffrey.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Again, can't argue with it.
I just thought he's been class the last few weeks. He's really settled in. I think the difference between now and the start of the season, when he was probably still getting his fitness up, because obviously he came off, I think he had an operation at the end of last season, so he was probably a bit behind the curve with pre-season and the other lads. But now that he's up to fitness, he's been deadly. He's come up with a few big goals, and I think he's just put in some huge 90-minute shifts. Like, he covers a lot of ground.
He has. He's been excellent.
Yeah, and as you said, like, he's the calmness as well. Like, he's playing, I think, with maturity way beyond his years. Just great to see his development in the last kind of 2 years.
Now, into the real business. The Richie Winters. So, I'll kick this one off. This annoyed me way more than it should have. But I turned on the coverage of, I can't remember what game it was on RTE. One of the games in the Euros. I was greeted by Richie Sadlier, Kenny Cunningham, and I cannot remember who the third fella on the panel was, and of course the evergreen Peter Collins was presenting it. But the camera went to the studio. Now, Ben, I don't know what the terminology is here, but is there like a floor director or something along those lines?
Yeah, there would be. There would be someone.
Well, you tell me, right, how a little bag ended up underneath Kenny Cunningham's chair.
That's a bit of a match. On
live television. It was just sitting there for all to see. And I was looking at it going, oh no, I can't be looking at that, right? Surely the light or something like that is just a bit off. Or a little bag just sitting under the chair. Like, what, he got a bag of cans in it or something?
No, the funniest comment I saw is, when you forget your PE gear and your ma drops open a shopping bag.
I don't know. First of all, why he brought the bleeding bag out into the studio in the first place? Like, what was in that bag that he had to bring with him? Like, he got a severed head or something like that in it that he was afraid to drop it down and leave it behind somewhere.
God, I hope you bring that with you, dude.
Oh, just bizarre. So strange. And like, how was somebody not looking at that through the camera going, right, maybe it's time to shift the old, the little bag out of the way? And it was a little bag. I was corrected on that. I said Aldi on Twitter originally, and somebody corrected me, said little. So yeah, there you go. But my Richie Winter, it's not Kenny Cunningham. It's not his fault. It's the whatever, the director or whoever it is that makes those kind of decisions. Incidentally, Kenny Cunningham, one of the only people who didn't buy a raffle ticket at the Shell's fundraiser. Do you remember that, Ben?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, we were going around the tables and everyone was very generous with their money. And yeah, no problem, lads. Yeah, I'll take a couple of raffle tickets. Got to Kenny Cunningham. And straight away, he was like, nah, not for me, lads. Not into all that stuff. I was like, all right, Kenny, absolutely grand. It's just a raffle ticket, but yeah, whatever you say. So my Richie Winter is not Kenny Cunningham. It's whoever made that decision on RTE to allow Kenny Cunningham's little bag to make an appearance.
Dude, you were a great salesman that day, if I remember.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic I was. Reggie, hit me with your Richie Winter.
He's been mentioned already tonight, but a certain vlogger who...
that was mine.
Who now thinks he's Fabrizio Romano, tweeting all sorts of deals that just aren't true, and said that a certain... Now Shell's player was in Talca a few weeks ago and he just clearly wasn't. The man was playing for Grimsey.
And he also said that the interest, that Harry Wood's interest in coming back to Ireland had waned, which, well, shock horror, he's in Ireland and he's also signed a 2.5-year contract. So, yeah, how did that one work out for you? But, like, this whole thing of trying to make yourself look clever by, like, there's been plenty of times like a signing gets out prematurely, whether somebody spots them getting their photos taken, whether they're spotted just in a ground or around a ground or whatever it might be. And then people put that out there as fact. But it's already out there. So you're not really this, you know, exclusive. Oh, I have this exclusive breaking news bleeding. Tom, Dick and Harry is signing for here because he was spotted in the Bleeding Butchers down the road. It's like, come on, will you? Is that, like, and then people believe, like, people buying into it, be like, oh, he knows what he's talking about. Like, he said Shane Farrell was going to Drogheda, but everyone and their dog by that stage had heard that Shane Farrell was going to Drogheda or that he was definitely leaving Shells. So, I just have a day off. Seriously, have a day off.
If you throw enough at the wall, it'll stick. So I think that's kind of the goal there. Just that'll happen. Look, I've got two right. I'm a genius.
Yeah, and like the way this league is, it's such a small, you know, everyone knows everyone. And yeah, you're on a hiding to nothing, I think, trying to put it out there that you know stuff nobody else knows. Ben, you said there your Richie Winter was going to said vlogger.
It was going to be the same, but you know what? I've thought of another one since you mentioned it earlier, and as far as is Clarkey a mission? Adam Leonard. It's cruel. I know he's not even here to defend himself, but...
I'm never here to defend myself, and you label me as the Richie Winter, so I think it's fair enough.
Go on, defend yourself, so you're here.
No, I can't even remember what you gave out to me for.
Forgetting birthdays.
Debatable.
But did you do it? Did you forget them?
I forgot some.
Okay, so... Reggie, if anyone needs a solicitor, don't get Reggie, because you'll just be like, ah, he did it. He's guilty.
Oh, God. Man.
All I can think of when I forget a birthday is Yaya Toure throwing the toys out of the pram. Because you didn't get a birthday cake or something like that.
That's what we're going to do next, Reggie. Instead of birthday posts, anytime you forget, we're going to make you buy a birthday cake.
Reggie, I don't think your bank balance could afford that, could it?
No, that'd be a crippling,
crippling caterpillar, whatever it's called now.
What, Ben?
The old caterpillar cake.
They're gone up as well. Inflation hits everyone, Ben. Not even Colin the Caterpillar can escape that.
Oh no.
Yeah, Reggie, you won't be buying birthday cakes, don't worry. There's too many points to be drank. Priorities. Men, we've gone over the hour mark, so that we are into the red zone. We're into, right, you've waffled on for too long now. Shut it down. So, thank you very much for giving up your evenings and being here.
No problem.
No worries, dude.
And Dazzler took the liberty last week of playing his own music to see out the pod. So I'm going to do the same today. And I will leave you with We've Got Wood.
She's crazy like a fool.